This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my home. Oh, mama, I can hear you a-crying. You're so scared and all alone.
Uh-oh.
Hangman is coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
It's that time. We're here. We've gotten to the end of the week. It's a Friday morning, and good morning to you from 93.7 The Fan. It is the early morning show. We're inching closer and closer, folks. It's the Steelers and the Patriots. The time right now is 5:04. Time brought to you by WeatherSeal Home Services. Just $1 down can get you new windows. And I am completely fired. I'm as fired up as you can be at 5:04 in the morning on a Friday before a Sunday night game in an empty studio because the Fan Morning Show is at American Natural in Gibsonia today. So I'm by myself in a dark studio right now just going nuts about this game because I've been looking forward to it for so long and I'm so ready for it to get going. And we appreciate you tuning in today, however you're listening, whether that is in your car on your way to work or if it's on the radio.com app, you're not even in the Pittsburgh area. I appreciate it this morning. And let me get this out of the way before we get it to anything else today. You ready? Good for Mike Mayock and the Raiders for putting their foot down with Antonio Brown. Good for them for realizing that if you let things slide, he's only going to take advantage of you. Good for them for realizing they have a way for making this mistake, and it might be better off if they don't have a supreme talent, and what that supreme talent goes rogue. I think Mayock is doing his best to stay in control while John Gruden looks like he is getting trampled on. Antonio Brown has lost all reason, and the Raiders would be smart to eat their crow, cut AB, and move on. They tried, they gambled, it failed. They aren't going to Miami for the Super Bowl anyway. Get your money back and cut the cord. And some sucker team will eventually pick him up, thinking they're the franchise that can change his attitude and get the best out of him on the field. And unless AB finally wakes up and steps out of his self-absorbed world, that team is going to regret it too. Okay, thank you. Anyways, let's move on. Steelers and Patriots. And we have some bulletin board material, folks. Bulletin board material, and it's not the Steelers providing it to the Patriots. It's actually the other way around. So we have J.C. Jackson, who was a typical signing by the Patriots, free agent signing last year, also had three interceptions, but a free agent signing of 2018. He is met by the media for some reason yesterday, and in front of multiple reporters, this is the exchange from Jackson by reporters. Question: how much confidence do you get going up against some of the best wide receivers in the NFL last season, now going into your second year? Here's Jackson. Who are some of the best receivers in the NFL? Question: Juju Smith-Schuster. Jackson, you think he's the best receiver in the NFL? Reporter: one of. Jackson rolls his eyes. A few follow-ups were later asked. Another question. You're not buying Juju being one of the best receivers in the league? Jackson: in my opinion, I don't think so. There's a lot of good receivers in the NFL. Reporter: what do you see in him? Jackson: I mean, he's a great receiver. I'm not saying that. He's a good football player. He's physical, he's a good route runner, and he has strong hands. He makes a lot of plays on the ball. So that's what always I love about whenever a player comes out and has a strong stance against something or against another player, And then a reporter follows up on it. They're like, well, I mean, he's still a good guy. He's still a good receiver. I mean, he's got good hands. He's physical. He's a good route runner. I mean, he still plays football pretty well. Like, they always have to, if they feel like they know that they've done something wrong whenever the reporter keeps going after it, like, they follow it up with two or three questions because they know they have something big here, and this, and the receiver or whoever says it kind of picks up on it, like, oh, crap, I really screwed up here. Let me back up. So, I mean, first of all, who is J.C. Jackson? Coming out of Maryland last year, undrafted, as I mentioned. I don't know what the Patriots practice week looks like, but I do know what the Steelers traditionally have a walkthrough on the south side on Fridays and final preparations for the game. This dude might walk to the facility today and have his nameplate peeled off his locker and his locker cleaned out. I mean, doesn't anyone with any kind of football knowledge know that the best way to make Bill Belichick angry is to give bulletin board material to the other team? I mean, can you imagine this conversation with, like, another coach or an advisor that's breaking this news to Bill Belichick that J.C. Jackson has done this? Like, hey, coach, J.C. Jackson, yeah, he just said that Juju Smith-Schuster wasn't a very good receiver, and it's kind of blowing up all over the internet.
Who was it?
J.C. Jackson, coach, our nickelback, our fourth corner.
Oh, yeah, the nickelback?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, book him a flight out of here. Don't ever mention his name again.
Like, the Patriots are the kings of creating bulletin board material. Like, it doesn't even have to be anything that's that outrageous, and the Patriots are going to use it as motivation. I remember stories that our old friend who used to work here, Josh Miller, would say that it would honestly be anything. He would pull something from who knows where. It wouldn't even be in the Pittsburgh market, and he would use it for the game. He'd plaster it all over the walls as motivation for the team. And so for the Patriots to do something like that is so unpatriot-like, and you very rarely see it, and I'm surprised to see it from even a guy like J.C. Jackson, and I wonder what his fate is ultimately going to be. And I wonder if Juju even takes this as motivation. I feel like he's heard a lot of things over the offseason. He's a pretty in-tune guy. He's all over social media. He knows what the narrative has been around the team, especially with Antonio Brown leaving and him stepping into that number one spot now. I wonder if he even pays any attention to this and takes any motivation from it. If there's positive to gain from it, do it. I mean, hey, use whatever you can to go out there and do your best on Sunday night. And also, as I was reading and listening to things, and I've been just taking in all this Steelers-Patriots information as we lead up to Sunday night, I come across a Post-Gazette story yesterday by Ray Fittipaldo, our friend, and the headline, this is an honest headline in a respected newspaper, that the Steelers hope there's not another fire drill in Foxborough. And you kind of think, like, huh, that's funny. Like, and I think it is kind of like a cutesy thing, you know, like there's been crazy things that have happened in New England over the years, and Ray does a very good job of pointing out the different things over the years, like a Patriots fan pulling the fire alarm at the hotel in the middle of the night, and Mike Tomlin getting radio broadcasts in his headset as he's trying to coach the game. And it seems like a crazy thing, but it's legitimate. Like, you read that headline and you read that story, and I think that something crazy could happen again this week, and it's all part of the mystique of going up to Gillette Stadium and playing the Patriots at home, is that something really wacky could happen again. And you have to wonder, you have to sit back and think, how much are the Patriots actually involved in this stuff? Like, I want to believe that it's all a crazy fan theory, that the Patriots don't really put radio, you know, broadcasts in coaches' headsets and things like that. But at the same time, this is the same franchise that has got caught twice doing things that were not above board. Like, they have two gates associated specifically with their franchise, Spygate and Deflategate. When you're a double gate, all benefit of the doubt goes out the window. And so something crazy could happen on Sunday or on Saturday or whatever the lead up is to this game. And that's just another kind of side storyline as we get into this. And two things that kind of stuck out to me: the Patriots providing bulletin board material, and the possibility that something completely off the board could happen again on Sunday, or just some of the many things that as we approach this game and as we eagerly await Sunday night that you have to factor into and think about. All right, coming up next, we'll get to the stuff that happened while you were sleeping last night, an interesting battle in the Pirates game, as well as meaningful football that was on last night, although it was overall kind of a dud. And also some do's and don'ts for the Steelers, and maybe a couple of intriguing matchups as we inch closer to Sunday night. Maybe we'll give a game prediction as well. It's the start of a new day, and it's brought to you by Greenbrier Treatment Center. It's the early morning show on 93.7 The Fan. It is The Fan early morning show. I'm Matt Cole with you until 5:40 before The Fan morning show pre-show. And let's wrap up what happened last night in the sports world with While Yinz Were Sleeping.
Time now for While Yinz Was Sleeping on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
So we've reached the point in the season here in early September where the main storyline out of the Pirate game last night was a battle between Moran brothers in the fourth inning. So older brother Brian Moran faced off against Colin Moran, and Brian Moran was making his debut, his major league debut. He was drafted back in 2009. He's bounced up and down through the minor leagues. He's really had a tough road to get here. He had Tommy John surgery, finally makes it to the big leagues. And what do you know, he faces his younger brother, Colin Moran, and he strikes him out looking. Colin Moran after the game.
He's been my inspiration my whole life, so never giving up has kind of been the theme of his career. I would have given up probably. A lesser man would have given up with the road he's had to go through.
Yeah, pretty cool story. First time in Major League history that a pitcher's first strikeout comes against a brother. So that was pretty much the most important thing to come out of the Pirate game last night. The Bucks went up 5-1 after one, then they gave up 9 unanswered runs, and they scored 2 runs late, and they end up losing 10-7. Meanwhile, we had a little appetizer, if you will, a little mozzarella stick, maybe a little jalapeno popper, some nachos for your football appetite for Sunday night, and that was with Packers and Bears from Soldier Field. And to be honest, not a whole lot went on at Soldier Field last night. It was if you like a defensive struggle, you definitely got a lot of that. But 10-3, the final score, the Packers defeat the Bears. The only touchdown on the night was this.
See what they do here. First and goal. Rodgers hangs in the pocket, throwing into a lot of traffic, and it's caught for the touchdown by Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, Rodgers to Graham. They went up 7-3. They were down 3-0 early in that second quarter. So if you stayed up for the first half, you saw pretty much the only real offensive highlight of the night. And Aaron Rodgers talked about his Packers defense that performed pretty well.
It's been a long time since I've seen a performance like that. Obviously, a lot of credit to Mike Patton and his staff. But to those players, I mean, just incredible effort. We didn't do them a whole lot of favors with our own performance on offense, but I mean, every time we needed something, a stop, they came up with some really big plays.
Yeah, the quarterback play really wasn't great in this game, to be honest with you. Aaron Rodgers was 18 of 30, 203 yards. He did have that touchdown to Jimmy Graham. Didn't throw any picks, but a 29.4 QBR. And then on the other side for Mitch Trubisky, yikes, not the way you want to start the season. He was 26 of 45, which I think there's the problem right there. Why is Mitch Trubisky throwing the ball 45 times? But 26 of 45 for 228 yards, no touchdowns. He did throw an interception. He was sacked 5 times, and so was Aaron Rodgers. These defenses really got after it, and they're really impressive. I don't know if it's just a week one thing and the offenses are sloppy, or if these are going to be two elite defenses as we move forward this season. But Mitch Trubisky's QBR was 18.5. There's virtually no running game for either of these teams. I have David Montgomery on my fantasy team. Thanks a whole lot. 6 carries, 18 yards. He got me a whole, 4.5 points last night. So not a lot to happen at Soldier Field, but the Packers do get the 10-3 win. And at least you saw some good defense if you stayed up for that one. Not much happening in the second half, so if you went to bed early, you really didn't miss a whole lot. All right, we're going to continue on with the show here. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll do some do's and don'ts for the Steelers going into this Patriots game. Also, a game prediction at the end, and of course, a question of the day. And you know what? It's Friday. It's before the Steeler game. We'll take some calls. If you have some thoughts about what the Steelers must do in order to win this game on Sunday night, we'll take some calls. 412-928-9370. It's the early morning show on 93.7 The Fan. And a good Friday morning to you. It's 93.7 The Fan. It is the early morning show. I'm here with you till 5:40 before the Fan Morning Show pre-show. And the Fan Morning Show from 6 to 10, chalked up with guests, loaded up for you for Patriots and Steelers to start the season. And as we draw closer, we've heard so much. There's been so much talk coming into this game. We've previewed it for forever. And I just have some do's and don'ts that I'd like to see here for the Steelers coming into this game. I'll start first with a don't. Something I just don't want to see coming in for the Steelers against these Patriots is don't let them score quickly to start the game. Mike Tomlin stated this in his press conference on Tuesday, that in last year's game they gave up a quick score to begin the game. And it's one thing to do this at home and to another to do it on the road. They did it at home last year against the Patriots, obviously overcame that to win that game. But you can't do it on the road. You can't do it to start a season after a banner was raised and the obnoxious Boston crowd's all fired up. They shoot off those guns and everybody's celebrating and, you know, Tom Brady, oh, he's the GOAT, and Belichick, he's the GOAT, and all this other stuff. Everybody's going to be all fired up for it. And if you come out on the first possession and Brady hits Edelman in the middle of the field and there he goes for 65 yards for a touchdown, I think momentum can slip away very, very easily. And as I said yesterday, Belichick, Brady, McDaniels even, they're probably the most prepared and progressive and one step ahead of you thinkers and schemers in the game. And they've been starting this as a week one matchup. They've been staring at it for a long time now. You don't think that they'll be equipped for at least 10 plays to go to right away? Those are going to be very, very important. And if the Steelers fail that challenge, I think things can slip away very easily. When the Patriots have more than 1 week to prepare, they're lethal. Last year, we saw that in the Super Bowl. That was the perfect example. They shut down that Rams offense that was so high-powered all season long, held them to just 3 points. It helped that Todd Gurley wasn't in that game. But the point remains, if you give the Patriots extra time to prepare, not good. Here's a do. For the Steelers, use your advantage. Use the offensive line. The Steelers did a great job of this last year in the opening game of the season against Cleveland, riding James Conner for 31 carries, 135 yards, and 2 touchdowns. The weather played a bit of a factor there, but I think the philosophy still works well that you use James Conner and you use him early and often for this game. You didn't have James Conner whenever they met the first time. This will be the first time he's going against Brady and Belichick and the whole gang. And I think that he's looking forward to this opportunity. He talked about it earlier this week.
And it's still discipline, you know. The Patriots, you know, we know what they are in this league. Well respected. So, still a great team.
Yeah, I think it can't be overstated the importance of James Conner in this game. A better running game, it allows for longer drives, you would think, because you can sustain him. It eats up some more clock. That keeps Tom Brady off the field. And it also keeps points off the board for New England. I mean, if Brady's not out there, obviously they cannot score unless, you know, Ben makes some mistakes or James Conner, as we saw some fumbling issues last year. There's a key turnover there. But the more Tom Brady's off the field, the better chance you have. And also, their leading sacker, Trey Flowers, for the Patriots, he's gone. The Patriots' pass rush ranked near the bottom of the league last year with him. They were 30th of 32 in sacks. So this offensive line is just, it's chock full of veterans and Pro Bowlers. And I think you can wear them down throughout the game. I think that's where your advantage is. Use it right away and use it throughout the game. Here's a don't. Don't force the ball to Juju. He's the number one, but he isn't Antonio Brown yet. If you don't get him the ball right away because he's blanketed and you don't try to throw to him open and don't try to squeeze it to him anyway like they did many times in the past with AB, I think it's going to be okay. I don't think a water cooler is going to be thrown across the sideline. I don't think he's going to be in a screaming match with coaches. I don't think. So there shouldn't be pressure there to try to force the ball to Juju Smith-Schuster. Use those other weapons there. There's got to be some trust in the passing game, despite all of them just assuming bigger roles this year with James Washington, Vance McDonald, Ryan Switzer, or, you know, guys that weren't even here last year with Dante Moncrief and Deontay Johnson. One of the tangible effects, I think, of not having Antonio Brown is that we're going to get a more efficient Ben Roethlisberger. I think he's probably not going to throw for the 34 touchdowns that he did last year. He probably won't lead the league in passing yards again this season. But I also think that he'll cut down on his passing attempts, which he also led the league in last year, and he'll throw less than those 16 interceptions. So he might not throw 34 touchdowns. He might throw 28. But I think that he's also going to virtually cut that interception number in half. I don't look for him to throw 16 interceptions. He's had very little seasons where he has thrown less than 10 interceptions. He'll probably get those. But I think overall we get a more efficient Ben Roethlisberger if he doesn't throw as much as he did last year. And ultimately, they'll be better for it and he'll be better for it. A couple of matchups I have to watch for this game. Edelman versus Hilton. Mike Tomlin mentioned this specifically in his press conference Tuesday that Mike Hilton and or Cam Sutton would be in coverage on the Super Bowl MVP from last year. I like Mike Hilton, but this slot position, I mean, that kind of makes me nervous. Brady could be going to his biggest safety valve, his security blanket, his safety net, whatever you want to call him. He could be going to him early and often in this one. I'm a little concerned about Julian Edelman's impact on this game as long as he's healthy. I know he had kind of a thumb injury at the end of the last preseason game. That was a story to begin this week. Haven't heard much about that as we've gone through this week. But I'm really going to watch out for that as this game moves forward. And also I want to look for Ben versus this veteran Pats secondary. Stephon Gilmore, Jason McCourty, Kyle Van Noy. These guys are all cagey league veterans. They're all smart players. Ben might throw at least one interception in this game. I think that he will. I think he turns the ball over at least once. It depends on where it comes in the game, though, as to how important it is to the outcome of it. You know, if he throws it in the first quarter, they've got plenty of time to overcome it. But if he throws it in the fourth quarter with 5 minutes left, you know, it all depends on the timing of that. But I do think he turns it over eventually because this Patriots secondary, they're not a bunch of stiffs. They're veteran guys. They've been there, done that, guys. And that scares me a little bit coming into this one. So let's get to a game prediction here as we wrap up and we give you the question of the day and we throw it off to the Fan Morning Show pre-show. Game prediction for me, I think this will be more of a defensive game. I think especially the Steelers start a little slow offensively to begin seasons. The past 2 years, 21 points in the opener against very much lesser Browns teams than even the one this year. It would be something like 10-7, I think, New England at halftime. I think the Steelers will come out in the second half and they'll really put it on them on the ground. I think that offensive line eventually wears New England down. I think the Steelers will likely to have a big turnover or red zone stop in order to win this thing. It's going to be a one-score game throughout. I don't expect the lead to get bigger than 10 either way. I think James Conner scores. I think Vance McDonald scores. I think the Steelers will win this one 24-17. And I know that's bold to predict the Steelers win on the road at Foxborough 0-5 against Brady and Belichick when Brady plays in Foxborough. We all know that. But as I said in the beginning of the week, I don't think the Patriots are the same in September as they are in December. I think the Steelers defense will make some mistakes because they're young and because it's the first time that they've played as a unit in a meaningful game. And Julian Edelman and Sony Michel will probably run loose a few times. But I think the speed is real with this defense this year and it will show up enough to win. Here's the question of the day for you, something to take to work as we wrap up here on the early morning show to get the conversation started. What's the one thing the Steelers must do in order to win Sunday night? That's kind of a cliched sports radio question, but I think it's apt coming into this game. That one thing that the Steelers must do in order to win Sunday night, I don't know if there's a clear answer here. I think a lot of people will say that you've got to pressure Tom Brady. That's always the go-to. Oh, you got to get pressure on Tom Brady. Got to make him feel uncomfortable. I think there's a lot of different things the Steelers have to do, but I guess if there is just one thing the Steelers must do in order to win Sunday night, it's making Tom Brady uncomfortable. I mean, if it's true, it doesn't make it untrue the more that you say it. If it's true, it's true. And I think it's true in this situation. If you missed any of the show today, you can check out the podcast, however you check out podcasts from 93.7 The Fan, whether that's on 93.7thefan.com, the radio.com app, or the podcast app on your phones. Colin Dunlap, Chris Mack, Jim Colony, The Fan Morning Show. On the way, the pre-show next here, 93.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.